Good evening. Good evening, everyone. I trust you had a blessed Sunday, and I trust that today was a good day for you. There's a song that says, life is what you make it. Well, the Lord has blessed us with all things that pertain to life and godliness, so we should have a good day. It doesn't matter what it's like outside. It's what's inside of us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is in us, so I trust you had a blessed day today. You've tuned into First His Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change my life. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I tell our listeners, the Word guarantees to change us. God says He watches over His Word to perform it, and the Holy Spirit uses one of the ways He changes our life is He uses the Word of God. So the Word of God is it's very, very important to us. I mean, so many people gave up their lives and martyrs so that they could preserve the Word of God that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we guarantee the Word will change your life. If you apply the Word, if you are a doer of the Word, you'll never be the same. Never, never, never. This is our Sunday Daily Bread for February the 27th, 2023, Daily Bread service for February 27, 2023. And our purpose in 2023 is kingdom priority. Priority with an eternal perspective. You know, and the Lord continues to just confirm that we're on the right track. This is what He wants us, at least for First His Kingdom and for me as a pastor. This is where the Lord is leading us. Kingdom priority, that's first in order of importance. Nothing's more important than the kingdom of God. Amen? And then it says, with an eternal perspective, the Lord gave that to Pastor Rose. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:1, it talks about that. We're only passing through this world. This world is not our home. There's an eternal security for us waiting in heaven. All right, anyway, that's welcome to our Monday Daily Bread service, February 27th. And I started asking some biblical questions just to do something new, just something different in February. And our Bible questions, the purpose is to refresh our memories or increase our knowledge of the Bible. And I said I wanted participators, not just spectators. It's easy to stay in the background and just hear and listen and not participate. It's easy to do that. But your participation is what I'm looking for. Anyway, our Sunday Bible question was, who is Jesus' mother? Who is Jesus' mother? Last night, I asked Pastor Rose. I said, Pastor Rose, I want to ask you our Bible question for this week. Who is Jesus' mother? I mean, and before I even finished... Before I finished the question, she said, Mary. I go, did you listen to the question? Or did you hear me? She goes, ask me again. I said, who is Jesus' mother? Who is Jesus' mother? And she said, Mary, I know who Jesus' mother is. And I'm not picking on Pastor Rose because we've all done this. I've done it myself. We've been to ministers' conference. When they say, turn to Hebrews 11:6, and oh, well, I already know that, faith of, and that's what happens, kingdom priority. A lot of times we start thinking, we start speaking, we start acting before we find out, what does God want? So the Bible question for this week is, who is Jesus' mother? Who is, not who was. So anyway, let me read you the answer in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 48. Let's start in verse 46. While Jesus spoke to the people, behold, verse 46, behold, Jesus' mother and his brothers stood outside, desiring to speak to him. Verse 47. Then one of them said to Jesus, behold, your mother and your brothers stand outside, desiring to speak to you. Here's the question, verse 48. But Jesus answered and said to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" So our question this week is, who is Jesus' mother? Verse 49. And Jesus stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." Verse 50. Here is the answer. Who is Jesus' mother? Verse 50. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So the question is, who is Jesus' mother? If you're a mother and you're a Christian, you are Jesus' mother. If you are a male and you're born again, you are Jesus' brother. If you are a sister, a female, and you're born again, you are Jesus' sister. So who is Jesus' mother? We are the family of God. Amen? We are part of Jesus' family. We are mothers, brothers, and sisters. If we're born again, we're born again into the holy family of God. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says we are members of Christ. We're members of Jesus' holy family. It's not a trick question. You know, since January 1, the Lord has been dealing with us about kingdom perspective. Jesus came from heaven, and in heaven, they speak heavenly, a heavenly language. They don't speak English, French, Spanish, Latin, German. They speak a heavenly language. So when Jesus came to earth, he spoke a kingdom language. I mean, the disciples asked him, "Why do you speak in parables?" Jesus said, "It's for you to know. The Spirit will give you the knowledge that you need enough to get you to heaven." So this is kingdom language. Jesus spoke in parables for you to know. There's a big difference. The world doesn't know anything about Jesus. Or if they do, it's not that he's a savior. He was a good prophet. He was a good teacher, blah, blah, blah. The world doesn't know, but it's for you and I, our listeners. It's for you and I that are Holy Spirit led, that you're born again with the Holy Spirit in us, on us, and with us. This is kingdom language. Jesus spoke in parables for us to know. Listen, our daily bread scripture for February, this 102, what do we got, 3 more days? We got 2 more days, Monday and Tuesday. 1 John 5:15. If we know, do you have any confidence in the Word of God? I mean, when I said, who is Jesus' mother, you should have known. Well, who was? Mary was a mother. Who is Jesus' mother now? Do you understand what the Lord's trying to get us to do? I'm not trying to trick anybody. I'm just trying to have you go beyond our head knowledge. Yes, Mary was Jesus' mother, but who is his mother now? We are in the family of God if you're born again. 1 John 5:15, if we know, we have confidence in the Word. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. We know we have the petitions that we desire of him. I gave you a testimony of one of the sisters in our church that had a heart procedure. The doctor for a year has been trying to put a stent in their artery and in her vein by the heart. And she just said, "No, I don't want a stent. I don't want a stent. I don't believe, and I want to come home that same day." It was an out procedure. Well, we prayed. We agreed with her decree. She said, "No, I'm not going to have a stent, and I'm going to come home that day, and I don't want any pain." Listen, God, most Christians don't believe the Word. I mean, they're born again. They want fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell. But they still suffer here needlessly when God has given us so much authority. We know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire. When you pray, are you confident that God's going to move on your behalf? I mean, God's always working behind the scenes. He's always working for us. When the cherubim, when the angel escorted Adam and Eve out of the garden, right there, God purposed. He's always been trying to get us back to that position, that righteous position with him. But it all depends on us. He gave us the most powerful thing on the earth, our will to make a decision. Amen. We know we have the petitions we do. We know we get results with our Heavenly Father. And that's not to brag on us, but that's to brag on His promises. He is faithful to His promises. So what's first His kingdom's purpose? What's our purpose this year? Kingdom priority. Faith keeps our purpose alive. And our purpose is demonstrated by our works. Pursue your purpose with purpose. God's got something for you to do, and He's already got it planned. Do you have to do it? No. How many people wind up in hell that had enough faith to be saved, but they didn't do anything about it? I mean, read Mark 16:15, the Great Commission. We're fulfilling the Great Commission, and it says, go and preach the gospel into all the world, all the nations. And, people think I'm too hard. Listen, our lives, our eternal lives, or our soul is at stake. This is for all eternity. Not just for a couple of months, but it says those that believe shall be saved, and those that don't, man, you're not going to make it to heaven. And you know, we've got, a lot of us know people, neighbors, co-workers, even relatives that aren't saved. We've got relatives that are playing around in sin, thinking that they're fighting the good fight. Listen, you keep dabbling with sin, and you might wind up in the wrong place. That's all I'm going to say about that. But everybody thinks that, well, I'm an American, I'm going to heaven. Listen, without the blood of Jesus covering you, you're not going anywhere. Amen. Pursue your purpose with purpose. Unexpected blessings. Amen. Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. And before the feather hits the fan, it's kingdom priority with eternal perspective. Amen. How did you do on Sunday's message? Did you forgive? Did it change your life? Or are you still walking in unforgiveness? The biggest reason we don't change, listen to this revelation, the biggest reason we don't change is because we won't change. Nobody can force you to change. Nobody, not even Jesus. He's not going to interfere. He's not going to interfere with your will. The biggest threat to you fulfilling God's plan is your plan. Remember Adam and Eve. And forgiveness is an act of violence. The devil is more interested in unforgiveness than he is in what caused it. Amen? Forgiveness. When you forgive, it hurls. It sends away the whole incident. It paralyzes the devil's plan against you. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil. Forgiveness sends away the effects of the incident. We're the ones who give the devil ammunition to fight us and to win over us. That's why a lot of Christians are defeated. Half of them don't even believe in the Bible. I mean, not half of them, but some of them. It's like, no. Listen, there's an enemy. You need to know your foe. Amen. Walk after the Spirit. Unforgiveness is not a fruit. Be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. Unforgiveness is not righteousness. We need to understand forgiveness is violence. Amen. It's not a passive action. It's an aggressive force. It's not a weak thing. It takes guts to forgive. You know, if you've really been hurt and offended, believe me, it takes guts to forgive. Forgiveness alters and changes our life for the better. When we forgive, we are altered. We are changed. We are, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we're new creatures. Forgiveness is a supernatural act of violence. Don't forget the good thief on the cross. Amen? Forgiveness is a violent act against the devil. He dominates weak people. In forgiveness, the incident loses its power, and then God can change our life. Forgiveness paralyzes the devil's plans. Amen? Forgiveness is not a human thing. It comes from God. In forgiveness, the incident loses its power, and the evil behind the incident. Well, that was just our introduction. I told you Sunday morning I was going to give you 4 steps to forgiveness, right? Said 12 minutes of an introduction. I hope you're still with me. This will change our lives. Forgiveness, I mean, it's conditional on our part. God says, if you forgive, Jesus said, if you forgive, your Father in heaven will forgive you. If you don't forgive, guess what? Yeah, it's conditional. Your Father in heaven won't forgive you. Amen? Are you ready? Are you ready for number 1, the 4 steps to forgiveness? I guarantee this will change your life. 4 steps to forgiveness. Number one, we need to understand why it happened. Why did you get hurt? Why were you offended? Why are you upset? Why are you mad at God? What? Understand why that offense happened. Understand why it happened and the evil behind the incident. Amen? The devil knows your past. He knows your past, and if you're born again, he doesn't want you to fulfill God's plan for your future. So number one, understand why it happened, the evil behind the incident. In forgiveness, the incident loses its power, and the episode is totally erased. Man, that sounds so simple, but let me tell you, if you apply it, it works. In forgiveness, the incident loses its power, and the episode is totally erased. Totally erased. How long does it take? That time depends on you. I mean, sometimes, you know, we forgive and it's gone. That's it. Sometimes we forgive and it takes a while. It takes how long? It depends on you. It depends on you and not the seriousness of the offense, because like I said, forgiveness, it takes the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen? Forgiveness pulls the sting that brings death, that brings separation from God. Forgiveness protects our lives from life-destroying assignments. Man, the devil loves it. The devil loves it when we walk in unforgiveness, because it separates us from God. Forgiveness protects our lives from life-destroying assignments. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The action of others, they don't have the power to destroy us. We can't change people. Amen. The Holy Spirit changed us. We need to trust the Holy Spirit to change people, to transform them. Amen. The Holy Spirit's main agenda on the earth is transformation. So the actions of other people, they don't have the power to destroy us. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Man, we want to go home. We want to leave this earth, change our address, our zip code, and have Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. We don't want him to say, well, you're done. Amen. The Apostle Paul didn't give the devil any room. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. Ephesians 4:26 warns us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give the devil any room by giving in to the irritation that would last until the sun goes down. I mean, the Bible has the answer. It has everything we need to succeed. Amen? Understand the violent nature of forgiveness. Forgiveness, it's a powerful weapon that can stop forces that motivate people to do wrong. An example of forgiveness? You want an example of forgiveness? Stephen in the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 6. You're familiar with that. The first martyr, Stephen, a Christian. You know, the Saul, you know, gave the approval to stone him to death. And as Stephen is dying, as he is leaving this zip code, as he's leaving this world, as he's falling asleep, he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. You don't think forgiveness is an act of violence? God, Stephen, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. And they're stoning him to death. And we've got people that look at us the wrong way or say the wrong thing, and man, we hold unforgiveness. We need to grow up, church. We need to grow up and forgive. How could Stephen do this? Why didn't he get angry? Why didn't he get mad? Why didn't he curse? He realized he wasn't dealing with people. He knew evil forces were behind driving the people. He refused to bow down to the pressure of that evil. God, what an example. Stephen knew our second step to forgiveness. The second step to forgiveness, it separates people from sin. Our four steps. Number one, we need to understand why it happened, the evil behind the incident. And two, forgiveness separates people from sin. Stephen fought evil forces behind the people and brought an opportunity for God's power to minister repentance to them. You imagine being one of the people that grabbed a big stone bigger than your hand and threw it at Stephen and hit him. And here he is dying, going to sleep. And he speaks to God and says, forgive them. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I mean, wouldn't that get to you? Wouldn't it convict you? I mean, wouldn't that convict you? Forgiveness is a powerful weapon that can stop forces that motivate people to do wrong. To do wrong. Excuse me. True forgiveness is done in obedience to God in response to what Jesus has done for us. Understanding the violent nature of forgiveness. Oh, Lord, help us to forgive, Lord. Forgive as we are forgiven. Our four steps to forgive. Number one, understand why it happened, the evil behind the incident. Number two, forgiveness separates others from sin. And number three, forgiveness separates us from sin. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Mark 11:26. I mean, the gospel has everything we need to succeed. Amen? Number three, forgiveness separates us from sin. We don't want to walk in unforgiveness. Amen? If you don't forgive, Mark 11:26, it says you will not be forgiven. I mean, this is conditional on our part. God is ready, willing, and able to forgive us, but we have to forgive. Forgiveness separates us from sin, number three. And finally, number four, the four steps to forgiveness. Forgiveness helps our prayer life. Mark 11:25, when you pray, forgive. Forgive. If someone has hurt you, forgive them. Amen. If you can get any kind of communication with them, just tell them, forgive me, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if you were right or wrong. If the Holy Spirit convicts you that you have unforgiveness, ask for it. You don't have to be right or wrong. Just do it. Amen. Somebody asked a silly question, and I go, you know, it's easier for our flesh to ask questions of doubt than it is to believe the word about truth. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Forgiveness helps our prayer life. When we forgive, we are winners. When we forgive, we're winners over the forces of darkness and over people that were led by evil forces to do something against us. Amen. Let me repeat that. When we forgive, we're winners over the forces of darkness. Man, the enemy loves it. He doesn't care about what happened. He cares about unforgiveness. And that's what he wants the Christians to be. Amen? Forgiveness is a violent act against the evil that dominates people. If Jesus on the cross could forgive, how about us? Our four steps to forgive. Number one, understand why it happened. There's an enemy. Know your foe. Number two, forgiveness separates others from sin, and forgiveness separates us, delivers us from the power of the enemy. And then forgiveness helps our prayer life. Amen. Forgiveness is not a passive. It's an aggressive force, and it's not a weak thing. It takes guts. Some people they don't understand why it happened, and they don't separate the people from sin, and they don't separate themselves, because unforgiveness is a sin. And then they wonder why their prayers aren't answered. Forgiveness helps our prayer life. It alters, it changes our lives forever. Anyway, our Bible question this week is, who is Jesus' mother? I'm not trying to trick anybody. I'm trying to get us to see beyond our nose. Amen. Beyond our nose. I don't know if we're going to do this in March or not. We'll see how many people participate. Anyway, God bless you. And forgiveness, it helps our prayer life. When you pray, forgive. When you pray, forgive. Amen. God bless you tonight. Now to all our faithful listeners, to our anointed mission financial partners, I pray that our Lord God bless you as you live this year, allowing Jesus' kingdom to be your first priority. Oh, hallelujah. May you sense the Holy Spirit's presence always near you, and may Jesus' peace bring you everlasting comfort. Oh, Lord, comfort that the world can't give. Comfort in your relationship with our Father God, as he loves you and cares about you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I decree, I declare, and I prophesy divine blessings of health, wealth, and above all things, soul prosperity on each and every one of our listeners, Father, in Jesus' name. In 2023, it's Jesus' kingdom priority for me. Amen. Our elder sister Grace will be with you tomorrow night on our Daily Bread broadcast. Jesus, you, and first his kingdom, you are never alone. You should never, never be alone. Be blessed. Have a good evening.